Russian bounty on US troops has Trump facing questions as to what he knew and why he didn't act, as well as what should be done now. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each week wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. The big story of this week is that Russia offered a bounty to Afghani militants on American soldiers in the Middle East. Questions have been raised less about the bounty itself and more about Trump's response. To polish off an old chestnut, Ed, what did the president know and when did he know it?
The president knew nothing and didn't want to know. This is one where I have a fairly clear understanding of what goes on. I used to write the president's evening briefings when I was in the Department of State. And there's a little black book that the president has from all the agencies under this little black book. The most important part of that book is the front part of the book, which is the State Department, CIA, and others on foreign intelligence matters. Unless the president doesn't look at that book, then he doesn't know anything. But all the presidents that I know of and knew of did. But it goes to more than the president. It goes to the Allied commanders. It goes to a number of other people in the CIA and the State Department and others, and people who have the proper classifications. So they're up to speed as to what goes on. So the president saying he doesn't know means almost nothing, because all the other people who are important in foreign matters, particularly delicate foreign matters, do know. And they would apprise all the other agencies and sub-agencies as to what the reaction is. So the president not knowing means he's the last man in the loop instead of the first man in the loop. That means he cannot govern. If the first man in the organization doesn't know what's going on in his organization, he clearly can't govern. And if it were a corporation, he would be terminated. And maybe it's that time.
Just to break this down into three possibilities as far as I see it, because we know this information existed and Trump had to be briefed. We had to know that that brief happened.
He was aware. He was briefed in it verbally, as well as having the book at his hand so he could see the intelligence. And the business of the intelligence is not being confirmed. It doesn't matter whether it's confirmed or not. It means that you have to do something to ensure that whatever the actions they're taking or not taking cannot be taken.
Just looking at the possibilities there, though, there's the first, that Trump was briefed, did nothing about it because he didn't want to upset Russia. Two, Trump was briefed but wasn't paying attention, doesn't listen to anyone, so he didn't care. Or three, Trump wasn't briefed because the intelligence community does not trust him on matters relating to Russia. What's your poison here, Ed? Am I missing something?
I'll take all three. The intelligence community let the general community through the New York Times know this had happened because it could get worse. We are currently negotiating with the Taliban over the future of Afghanistan. And the weaker the American might is in Afghanistan, the harder bargain they can drive. So this bounty business is very important to that community. That's why they let it leak, to make sure some actions were being taken. Someone's protecting us, and it's not the President of the United States.
Well, just on that call for action, we know about this bounty now. Trump unquestionably knows and knows we know. Reportedly, American soldiers did die and the bounties were paid on those deaths. What does Trump do now other than complain about how unfairly he's being treated? I mean, surely this requires a stronger response.
Of course it does. He's complaining about the leak in intelligence. If there was a leak in intelligence, well, that tells me that there was some intelligence. He's just digging a deeper and deeper and deeper hole for himself. Now, you can be sure that the military from the top down is sending this out to the troops. The commander in chief is not protecting you. So this is like a big Supreme Court loss. He thought he would have the troops in the back of his pocket, particularly if he could parade them down 16th Avenue in Washington, D.C., and Pennsylvania Avenue and 16th. The troops aren't going for parades. They're going for honest protection. And it means this man can't give it. Those votes are not going to Trump.
Latest on COVID, and it's not good. Things are only getting worse, at least in the United States. Here in Australia, we'd by this point say we're going to have a royal commission into just how badly screwed up this response was. I mean, we see sort of with a Ruby Princess, let's say, figure out who was to blame and how do we do better in future. Would we ever see something similar in the States in regards to just how badly COVID has been handled?
You have not been listening to the president. Things are going well. Couldn't be going better.
We just need to stop
America's
testing.
America's opening up. The fact that 10,000 people a day are contracting this disease is a very small matter. And 10 or 15% of them will die. That's the truth. Fauci said it, and that's it.
We've seen now over 130,000 deaths, although despite the spike in cases, we're not expecting to see the same spike in deaths, thankfully. We will see, as you quite rightly point out there, a whole heap more deaths, but not the same numbers. Anything else to add on the latest?
No, I think this is, if it continues, and if it continues through August, gets to September, then Trump may resign. Because as this continues, this is an advertisement against him. The second thing is he can't do his rallies because even Republican governors will be against that. And he's not that sterling on TV. And that's not to say that Biden's very sterling on TV, but Biden has a whole host of actors like Obama and his possible vice president and a number of other people who are darn good. Trump has no one out there. And it looks like the vice president has learned the backflip that is jumping off the stage. So who's standing beside him? Even Lindsey Graham is looking for the exit.
Somewhat related to this, the $1.5 trillion Green New Deal put forward by Democrats. This deal wants to repair national infrastructure while putting aside funds for internet, schools and hospitals, but would require states to commit to climate action in order to receive funding. The White House has threatened to veto the bill, regardless of what the Senate decides, although Mitch McConnell, surprise, surprise, doesn't want to bring this one out for a vote anyway. First, just any general thoughts on this one, Ed?
Well, the reason he doesn't want to bring for a vote is that it gets a debate, and there's a good chance it would pass. And here would be another nail in Trump's coffin. Because if it passed, and it looked like there are jobs at the end of this, and there would be, Trump would be in deep trouble. So he doesn't even want to debate it. The Democrats will now be able to use this in their campaign. And one of the things we've been saying for months, the Democrats have to have a message. And we said the top of that message has to be healthcare. The second part has to be good jobs. Now we can say any jobs. The third part of that message is black, white, green, purple lives matter. So this measure is now a rallying cry for the demos, and it keeps those on the far left in the corral and makes them vote for this bill. This is beautiful language for the Democrats.
Just want to look at a couple of the criticisms that Republicans have made, though. They say it is heavily biased against rural America. at least in part because the public transport initiatives would only really benefit urban centres. Now, look, fair enough. Politicians have to look after the people they represent. A lot of these voters are in rural areas, no doubt Republican voters. Is there a blind spot the Democrats still have towards that support in rural America?
It's probably a blind spot, but think of this as a political act, not a real act. There will be some kind of a infrastructure bill passed, probably not this one, some of the things in it. But this is to get the voters out. And the voters live predominantly in cities. If, for example, Trump loses Texas, that could mean you'll never, ever see a Republican president again. This is a big deal. So keeping the left on side in cities and the suburbs is what this is all about. It has nothing to do with actual infrastructure for rural areas. Rural areas need farms to work. They need exports to work. And they need the internet. Not hard to do.
And Republicans have also complained the bill would be financed solely by the government, taking on additional debt. Is it me, or do Republicans seem awfully concerned about debt only when it suits them?
Absolutely. It didn't matter that this super trillion, $3 trillion deficit bill had to be passed in order for them to get tax breaks. And then that money was done by buy down stocks. That didn't matter to them at all. It created no jobs. It didn't do anything for the economy. That didn't bother them. It generated no new wealth. But it does matter to them if all of a sudden you're going to do something for real people.
And back in the Supreme Court, the court has declared a Louisiana law imposing licensing restrictions on abortion clinics unconstitutional, with conservative Chief Justice Roberts siding with the court's four traditionally pro-choice judges. His reasoning is rather interesting. He says he doesn't necessarily agree with the decision in the previous Texan case, but precedent is precedent, and he has to abide by that. Any thoughts, Ed?
Well, I think the Chief Justice reads the newspaper. And he's a member of this new singing group called the Supremes. And our song is, "He Be Gone." He knows he's going. And the Chief Justice wants to be inside where the court is no longer a political battlefield. Now, this was a big loss the last conservative was appointed to the court, Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh was supposed to vote the right way on this matter to save Susan Collins. If you recall, Kavanaugh said he would vote the right direction, meaning the direction of preserving abortions, if he got on the court and Collins would vote for him. She did. She is now dead.
Back to Russia. Putin must be doing something right with Russian voting. Russia voting to allow changes to the country's constitution that could see the Russian president in power until 2036. Of course, the things he's doing right may be voter intimidation, suppression, and vote rigging. But what does this mean for the future of the country, Ed?
Well, for the United States, it means that Trump has a real peer. Because this sounds a lot like Georgia and Louisiana and Mississippi to me. No different staying in power by rigging the electoral system. So it really doesn't mean that much. In a sense, having Putin in charge is better than any alternative we can think of, because the Soviet Union is barely holding itself together economically. And regime change would be great, if we knew what it would look like. And it might mean the dissolution of the Soviet Union as it is. That would be bad news for everybody, because the Chinese are right next door and they'd certainly take advantage of it.
Well, they are rebooting everything these days, especially from the 80s and 90s. Why not the Soviet Union? Just speaking on China as well, of course, Hong Kong. We've been watching these Hong Kong protests throughout the course of this year. We've seen the latest law come into effect and many arrested due to that law coming into effect in regards to the Hong Kong protest. The UK has also offered a rather intriguing citizenship deal. What's going on?
Well, the UK has offered everyone who was a citizen of Hong Kong, and that is born before 1992 or whatever the date was, citizenship to the UK. They can come on a visa for 5 years to be a student or a worker, and at the end of that 5 years, apply for citizenship. Now, this isn't such a big deal because everyone from Hong Kong went to the UK. Property values in London go up a little bit, but nobody would notice it because there are only about 5 or 6 million people, and many of them spread across Europe pretty quickly. So it sounds like a big deal, but it is crippling to the Chinese. They want Shanghai to be the new port of call for finance. That's going to take a long while. No one's going to trust a Chinese exchange over one that is run by honest brokers.
And election 2020, I was getting a little bit impatient last week for news on Biden's running mate. The hunch, you reckon, Ed, has narrowed to Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris. Now, neither is an entirely a clean choice. I don't know if anybody in politics is a clean choice, of course. Both come with good and bad points. What's happening?
Well, I think the choice is now Elizabeth Warren. And the reason for that is she gets a suburban female vote. The black vote does matter, but Biden will carry that. And Biden is not going to stay more than one term. Kamala Harris is a pretty abrasive person. So you have to think of a person who might be president very soon, and a female candidate. And that's Warren. She can already pose as a president or an Indian chief, whichever she likes best. But she does have some substance. She's not a one-hit person. She has quality. She ran for the presidency. She ran well. But she ran into a problem, and that is Bernie. Had Bernie not been in the race, she would have captured the left. And now she stuck it out, brought Bernie's people on board, so she is the inside candidate. Not my candidate. I still like Klobuchar. But they haven't asked me yet.
And look, on this election, more and more fears the division in the United States is leading to potential violence. We saw vision this week of homeowners pointing guns at Black Lives Matter protests. Trump's rhetoric is, as far as I can see, just getting worse and worse. I want to play you this grab, just a little grab here from Fox News host Laura Ingraham. This is what she had to say to viewers of her program this week.
So more chaos is coming. We have just one chance to stop it. If you love your country, if you love Western civilization, if you want to save the rule of law, you must stand now. You must be willing to suit up for this battle. In school board meetings, in town council meetings, maybe even at parent-teacher conferences, and of course, state and federal elections. It's time to do or die.
Do or die, suit up for this battle, save Western civilization. She then went on, rather ironically, to accuse leftists in the States of being the ones radicalized. Ed, look, what do you make of this one?
Yes, she's right. Mississippi just took the Confederacy out of their flag. That looks like the white flag has gone up. And Laura Ingraham and all of them can say, now's the do or die time, because it's true. As I said earlier in the show, if Texas goes, and Biden now has a 5-point lead, there's also the possibility that Alabama will go, that Georgia will go, that Florida will go, and South Carolina will go. If that happens, woe is me. What these people haven't calculated is you cannot put down people who want freedom, and particularly people in their own country. So Laura Ingraham, who looks like she must be under 50, has a brain under 2. You can't win this battle. There is no way you can suppress democracy. And the average voter has figured that out. It is better to have a good police force who treats people carefully. And if they're black, it arrests them. And if they're white, it arrests them, than to have a divided nation. A divided nation cannot stand. The voters get it. Laura Ingraham does not.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk all the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast and check us out on Facebook and Twitter if you're so inclined at US of Ed.